Christ Christian Church Monday Manna Bible Study. Hey, y'all out there? We're waiting for y'all.
Let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you can see us and that the sound is coming in good for you. We praise God for each of you today as we have moved into October. Yesterday was the first day of October. And here it is, Lady Kim, the second day of October 2023. And I tell you, it doesn't even seem like September was around, but about 15 days. But
slid on out of here.
Yeah, but we praise God tonight for his keeping power. And we're certainly grateful for each of you. Lady Kim went up and changed when she saw what I had on. We praise God for each of you tonight. And we're certainly grateful for God sustaining us in the midst of everything that we're going through. And I tell you, it kind of feels a little like fall, but it still seems like the summer is kind of lingering
around.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it's staying around.
Close out some of your apps there and try to see what you can get there. But let us know you're getting a clear signal and that everything is coming through as you prepare for this time together tonight. You need some help, Reverend,
because yeah,
you seem
can
to
do
be.
That.
Well, I'm trying to lead the Bible study right now, but you.
Well, you asked if I needed some help.
Well, all right.
You would have. No, I don't know how to do it on here. So
you don't know how to take your apps off?
Not on here, I don't.
Okay. You can go. Let's see. Go ahead and finish talking.
Okay. So we had an awesome time on yesterday. As we will.
You see it now?
No, I didn't see it. I was trying to talk.
Okay, see, that's what I was doing last time when you told me to do this. I was trying to talk. So it's going to be that kind of night. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you have to click on one of the apps, and then it'll come up, and then you start taking them off. Yeah, try it. So I'm just trying to.
Okay. There we are.
Did that get it?
It should have. There it is.
Okay. All right. You going to say thank you or something like that? That helps.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We might have to just do this about 15 minutes and just call it a night because this is really starting out kind of strange. But we praise God for each of you. Did anyone say the sound is coming in clear? You on the app over there? Or you on Facebook?
The app says I can hear fine.
Okay. Right. So that's Facebook over there too.
Yes.
That you're on. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get started now that we worked through the little technical difficulties that we were working through. But lesson well learned, and we got to where we needed to be. And so let's have a prayer. We're going to tackle two chapters tonight. There are only 11 chapters in the 19th chapter. There are only 11 verses in the 19th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And then that 20th chapter, I think there are 30 plus verses there.
Quite long.
And so we'll see how far we can get in that. But most of what we'll be studying in the 19th chapter will kind of carry over from what happened last week. But let's say our prayer as we prepare for tonight. Lady Kim, of course, she's armed and ready to go, and she's going to really see how her arm is moving. She's hitting me under the table. I don't know what's wrong tonight. What did you have for lunch?
Pastor Murray is armed and ready to go with the Bible study tonight. I saw him up there studying and writing notes. So we're ready to go, huh?
Oh, Lord. All right. Let's have a prayer because we definitely need it right through here. God, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We're grateful for the laughter and we're grateful for an opportunity together as believers to study your word.
Yes, God.
We know that your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we pray now tonight that you will order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. We love you, God, and we honor you, and we bless your name. We love you more today than we did last night.
Yes.
Because, God, you've been so faithful and so kind and so just. And, God, your grace is extended to us time and time again, even when we don't deserve it. So God, we pray now that you would just allow this study to be fruitful to us as we move forward throughout our journey, and that we might gather some helpful handles to help us navigate through what we might experience even in life. And so we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. It's in the powerful and marvelous and matchless name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Come on, give God a couple of thumbs up there. Yes. As we are preparing for tonight. And we're certainly grateful for all that God is doing. And we thank God for how he's yet keeping us. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who's a keeper?
Yes.
And I tell you, you know, Lady Kim, I talked to my good friend in Birmingham today. Today is his birthday,
Alfred.
Brother Alfred.
Yeah.
And he and Keith's birthday were on the same day. And I saw a couple of posts there on Facebook from his family in Chicago. How many years has it been now since Keith passed?
Since 2018. No, 2019.
Okay.
So 4 years.
Okay. And so it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but, you know, we really miss him. And so we just kind of thought about that tonight. Well, the day earlier, as we were talking with Alfred and just kind of reflecting over his birthday, he and Sam told me to tell you hi. And they were out coming from breakfast.
All right.
Sam decided to take off and spend the day with him, and he couldn't believe it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He said, I can't believe this. So, but out of all of his birthdays, it says it's the first time she's ever done that. But that's a story that doesn't even connect to nothing that we're going to talk about tonight, but I just thought I'd throw that in. But tell us a little bit, Lady Kim, about how this, what the Spirit was telling, saying to you yesterday in the worship experience. It was a high time in the Lord. And tell us what you heard the Lord saying as we had worship on yesterday.
Well, as you know, I always write notes as you're preaching. And sometimes they save and sometimes they don't. At this time, they didn't save, but that's okay. Because you preach from the sermon topic just like that.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think a lot of people were blessed. Not think, I know a lot of people were blessed by that sermon. I certainly was. And it was from Matthew, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus was coming down from the mountain, you know, there was, he always had a crowd of people following him for the miracles that he did and for the teachings that he taught. And the multitude followed him, and a leper came up to him. And what's interesting is the Bible said that the leper worshiped him.
Wow.
Now, one thing that was strange about that, well, before I get in that, and let me go on with the story and then I'll go back.
Okay.
But the leper came and worshiped him and asked if Jesus could make him clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, be thou clean. And he was clean, just like that, immediately, the Bible says. So you had some 4 points that you spoke about. Have faith to overcome your feelings. Have faith to overcome your doubters and haters. Have faith to overcome your situation. And have faith to overcome the enemy. And so let me go back to, first of all, let's talk about a leper. Because during that time, leprosy was a very highly contagious disease.
That's right.
And lepers were forced to go and live in separate communities away from the general population. A lot of different diseases, skin diseases, were categorized as leprosy. So he may have had leprosy and he may not have had leprosy. He may have had, what do they call that? Gosh, I can't think of the little skin irritation that, you know, it looks pretty ugly, but it's not really contagious. But anyway, people with leprosy or any kind of skin disease was pushed into the fringes of existence. They had camps for lepers. You know, they lived outside the city. So the first thing that struck my mind or called my attention was how this leper came into the midst of the multitude. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he did, the Bible said, was he worshiped him. Eczema, psoriasis. Right. Yes, thank you all so much. Eczema and psoriasis. But the first thing he did, he came in and he worshiped Jesus. He was not supposed to be among the general population.
Okay.
So he took a chance, this leper did, to come and ask Jesus to heal his body. And then another interesting thing happened. First of all, he worshiped. Then it said Jesus spoke to him. People didn't even speak to people who had leprosy. Okay. They were left at the mercy of their families and friends to leave them food, leave them clean clothes. I guess they had a designated drop-off spot that probably they would help these people. And so he asked the Lord to heal him, asked him, can you make me clean? And that means to clean up the psoriasis or the eczema or the leprosy or whatever disease he had. And the Lord said, said he would, but he touched him. And that was another thing. You didn't touch lepers.
That's right.
Because people were, again, afraid of getting the disease. So Jesus touched him, and immediately, it said immediately, he was made clean. So first of all, you said we have to have faith to overcome our feelings. I assume that this leper was afraid to come into the general population of people, mm-hmm. but he knew something about Jesus.
That's right.
And so he pressed his way. He heard something. Yes, he heard something. And so he had to overcome his feelings of fear, get past his feelings of fear, get past his feelings of embarrassment, get past
insecurity.
His feeling of insecurity. That's right. And so the other one said, have faith to overcome your doubters and haters, because I know a lot of people would probably tell him, get out of here. You know, yelling
what you
at
doing
him,
all up
don't,
on us like
don't
that.
Come in here. But he came anyway. He pressed his way. And then have faith to overcome your situation. You know, he knew, he had heard about Jesus. So he knew that Jesus could help his condition. And then have faith to overcome the enemy. Because you know the enemy is going to try to defeat you every time you try to do something to get your breakthrough.
That's right.
Then the enemy is there. So those are the things that I took from it mm-hmm. on yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had a lot more to say, but
okay, no, you really covered it well, and you dug right into that whole disease of leprosy because it was major, and we see protocol being broken on both this leper's side as well as Jesus, and I'm sure that the people were in awe. They were shocked, no doubt, when they saw Jesus touch him, and then for them to see that he had healed him. I'm telling you, that was an amazing scene and just those first few verses of the 8th chapter. But one of the things that I think we have to take away from that, and you've already touched on it, is that even though we may find ourselves named by our condition, we can't allow our condition to hinder us from getting the help that we need. Because people probably, there was no name mentioned, but people probably just label him based upon his condition.
Right.
And for most of us, we're labeled based upon our condition, but we ought not let our situation or our location obscure our destination. We ought to have purpose in mind in terms of where we're trying to get healing, where we're trying to be made whole. And when Jesus passes our way, we should have the same kind of faith as this man, to be willing to break protocol, to be willing to do what's necessary, by any means necessary, in order to get what we need in order to be set free. Even if people are talking about us and trying to hinder and prevent us from getting our breakthrough, if Jesus is in the house, you know, your breakthrough, your healing, and your deliverance can happen just like that.
Just like that. Just like
that. So amazing service on yesterday. Many came forth It was a powerful outpouring of the power and the presence of God.
Yes.
As people were delivered and set free, and many joined the church on Sunday. I think it was about 6 or 7. But we praise God for the visitation of the Spirit. And we were long overdue for a service like that, Lady Kim. I remember there were times when in the early existence of the ministry that was a common service that we would have, healing and deliverance, anointing with oil, and people believing God for breakthrough in their situations. And so it just, it started out as a great day. You could just feel something brewing in the atmosphere, even as we gathered. And so we praise God for him showing himself strong on our behalf on yesterday.
Yes, yes.
Anything else you want to add to that as we prepare for our study tonight?
No, I think that covered it.
Okay. Well, we're going to be in chapter number 19 of 2 Chronicles. And we'll see in this chapter, and we're going to try to get as much as of chapter 20 in as we possibly can. But in chapter 19, Lady Kim, we see that, of course, Jehoshaphat is reigning at this time, and how God is showing him favor. He's honoring God just as his father Asa did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to live according to the old way, or the old landmark, or the old principles of old school. Some people call it old school. But he was willing to go against the popular opinion of others, and he was willing to do what God required of him to do. And so I think these first few verses here kind of sets the tone for how he was rebuked, because of for when he was getting ready to return back to battle, God had to rebuke him, because Jehoshaphat was of such where he was willing to stretch himself far beyond some of the boundaries that God had already established. And God sent a prophet to him and told him what he needed to do if he wanted to continue to be in good grace with God. And I think this shows us something about the grace of God, how it's extended toward us, and how God is obviously looking at what we have already done. He looks at our hearts in terms of our behavior. Our behavior ought to match what we say we believe about God, you know. And so I think a lot of that was in Jehoshaphat's favor, as he was almost given a reprieve here in terms of God correcting him, and then God allowing him to reestablished, and allowed him to set some reforms in place in order to correct his behavior. And so that's important, because many times we can have a situation where we are influenced by negative people or negative behavior of others, and we can easily be thrown off track. We've seen that in several of our studies through 2 Chronicles. And that can really be a downfall for people if they're not consciously aware of how important it is for them to get back to what God is calling forth for them to do. And so with Jehoshaphat, he was able to understand the importance and the significance of listening to God. And he was careful about giving advice as well as receiving advice from other people. And so much of what we'll see in these few verses here in the 11th chapter, we'll see how that reform begins to take place, and how he begins to set things in order to fortify the cities of Judah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So would you like me to start reading?
Yeah, you can just go ahead and read those 11 verses, and then we'll come back and lift up a few things, and we can jump right into chapter number 20.
Okay. All right. So we're in 2 Chronicles, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 1. King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. Jehu, son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you. For you destroyed the sacred poles out of the land, and you have set your heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat rescinded at Jehoshaphat resided at Jerusalem. Then he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. He appointed judges in the land in all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, consider what you are doing, for you judge not on behalf of human beings, but on the Lord's behalf. He is with you in giving judgment. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care what you do, for there is no preservation of justice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed certain Levites and priests of heads of families of Israel to give judgment for the Lord and to decide disputed cases. They had their seats at Jerusalem. He charged them, "This is how you shall act in the fear of the Lord, in faithfulness and with your whole heart. Whenever a case comes to you from your kindred who live in their cities concerning bloodshed, law or commandment, statutes or ordinance, then you shall instruct them so that they may not incur guilt before the Lord and wrath may not come upon you and your kindred. Do so and you will not incur guilt. See, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebadiah, son of Ishmael, the governor of the house of Judah, in all the king's matters. And the Levites will serve you as officers. Deal courageously, and may the Lord be with the good."
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Because God saw that Jehoshaphat had a good heart. Mm-hmm. He saw that he was willing to be obedient to the things of God, and sent in Jehu to really correct some behavior that could have gone off the deep end had he not listened to this prophet who came to him to give him instructions from God.
Amen. One of the things I like about Jehoshaphat is that he appointed judges to rule, and he told the judges, you know, to carefully administer justice to the people, you know. So when he returned safely from battle, you know, God rebuked him as a prophet, because it said, let me see what verse it was, where it said, I think it's in verse 2, "And Jehu, son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Mm-hmm. For therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord." So Jehu, son of Hanani, he was being rebuked because he had shown love towards people who hated God.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that was, you know, what word am I looking for?
Well, he was willing to kind of extend himself beyond what God had required of him and show favor to those whom God did not really want him to show favor to. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, he was corrected so that he wouldn't continue down that same path and make the kind of mistakes that would cause him more destruction in his life than it would benefit him in terms of being successful along the way. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he established order. Mm-hmm. He was willing to listen, because he could have had an angry spirit or a rebellious spirit when the word came to him and felt that he was doing what was right and what we thought was pleasing in his own eyesight. Mm-hmm. But that's the same way it is with us, Lady Kim. We have to really be mindful of and prayerful about the message that God sends our way, particularly when sometimes we become full of ourselves, that we don't listen, we don't want to listen, and we feel that the success now belongs to us. Mm-hmm. But really, it's God who has given us what we have been able to receive, mm-hmm. and all of the victories. And we'll see that coming out in this 20th chapter. Mm-hmm. Everything that we have been able to accomplish is because of the goodness and the grace
because
of God.
Yeah. It's all because of God. Yes. And I like what you say, you know, that we have to be willing to receive sound advice.
That's right.
Sound instruction. And, you know, sometimes we get to a point in life where we think we know it all.
Absolutely.
Because just like you said, we made it to a particular place or position. And we think, can nobody tell us anything?
That's right.
But someone can certainly tell you something.
That's right.
That will
that's
benefit
right.
you.
Absolutely.
So that's why the Bible says we need to be wise as serpents, mm-hmm. and harmless as doves.
Okay.
Because wisdom that we seek from, especially from older people, mm-hmm. can sometimes carry us a longer way. Technology is good. Young people have great ideas and innovation, but older people have wisdom that comes with living and that okay. comes with experience.
That's right. That's right. So the lesson really for us in this particular chapter, and we're getting ready to move into chapter 20, is that we really have to be careful about who is giving you advice, mm-hmm. and why they are giving it to you. Mm-hmm. And you have to be... we call it discerning. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to try the Spirit by the Spirit. And if you're trying to do what's right by God, and you're praying and you're being in prayer around the decisions that you're making, when God sends someone to you, it would be more confirmation than it would be confrontation.
Amen.
In terms of you receiving that. Because in your heart of hearts, you will know the uniqueness of the message that God is sending versus that which you are trying to do because of the selfishness of your own heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So, you know, we need to, like you said, be careful, mm-hmm. To who we get advice from. And also because you have to, I'm looking for the scripture. Try the Spirit by the Spirit. You mm-hmm. know, if it's of the Spirit of God, it will register, and you'll be able to feel that in your spirit. So be careful about who you bring and who you bring to you to get advice from. I think that's what I'm trying
okay,
to say.
Okay, that's good. And so we find that Jehoshaphat was able to return to Jerusalem, and he appoints the judges, as you already indicated. And then he sent them out, just as we saw in the last chapter, where they were teaching the people. Now he's instructing the judges to be wise in terms of how they judge and not show partiality, and make sure that you're not judging because of man, but you're doing what you're doing because of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So it all boils down to the intent of the heart.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because many times we can get in a position of judgment, and we can feel as if we are the ones who are making the call and making the decision. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can leave God on the sideline and start showing favors and start doing things because we feel that we want to get an advantage over someone, or in terms of us helping them and not God being the one to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Any comments there?
Not ones that, just those in agreement.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when we move over to the 20th chapter, unless you had something else, Lady Kim, mm-hmm. we move over into the 20th chapter. We see Jehoshaphat is getting ready to go into battle. And it's interesting here for me as I read over this chapter is that anytime you are successful in terms of doing what God requires of you to do, this is a word for somebody tonight, then even your enemies will try to fortify themselves against you to try to bring you down. And so you need to be mindful of that, because all too often we think that once we have won a battle, or once we have won a victory, that it's smooth sailing. But your enemy is continually trying to muster up as much, energy as he possibly can to throw you off track and to hinder you from being successful in the things of God. And so we have to be careful about that, because just because you won a couple of victories doesn't mean that that's the last battle that you're going to be in. Each victory will help us, as the song would say, to win. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so here we see Jehoshaphat is very powerful. He has fortified the cities. He has set up judges in all of the cities of Judah. And the enemy is angry and they're frustrated because they see him sitting high and mighty and in power, and that he's really coming together. And so they fortified other enemies to help them to try to overthrow him. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says Jehoshaphat was afraid. Mm-hmm. He was fearful because they outnumbered his army. Mm-hmm. And he knew it. And so we find here that Jehoshaphat really gets serious about his prayer life. He goes to God in prayer, and God gives him some powerful instructions that gave him the victory without even lifting a hand. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
If we but trust God and believe that God is able, and you'll see some very familiar passage of scripture that comes out here mm-hmm. in this 20th chapter as it relates to prayer and standing still. If we but trust God and believe that God will give us the victory and we don't have to put our hand in it, then we'll look around and we'll be going into the enemy's camp. They will have destroyed each other, and we'll get all of the spoils as a result of what they have left behind, and we will have so much blessings that we don't have enough room to carry the blessings off after God has given us the victory.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
That's right.
All right. You're going to go ahead and read how many verses you want to read?
As many as you want me to stop halfway.
What's wrong? You all right? All right. Any comments there?
No.
Good to see Sister Kathy on tonight, huh?
Yeah. Dr. Olu said wise words.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we're in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and why don't we read, how many verses is it in this?
I think it's 30, let's see.
It's about 34.
37.
37
verses.
Let's see if we can read the first 15, because much of what I've just recapped, we'll see will start coming out in these first 15 verses.
I think to stop at 12 would be,
You want to stop at 12?
Yeah, I think that's a good breaking point.
Okay, all right.
The 12th verse. So we're in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, verse number 1. After this, the Moabites and the Amorites. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Menuhites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. Already they are at Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Mm-hmm. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the towns of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They have lived in it, and in it have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword of judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress. And you will hear and say, see, now the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Okay, but our eyes are on you. So one of the things here, Lady Kim, as you were reading, I think it's around that second or third verse where, around in the third verse where it was clear here that Jehoshaphat, he was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not allow his fear to hinder him from going to God.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what he needed to do. The Bible says he set himself to seek the Lord. And then not only did he seek the Lord for himself, he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a simple word for us today, is that when fear comes in, we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear,
right,
but a power of love and of a sound mind. And even though we might be up against a situation where it looks like we're outnumbered, we have to go back to the basics in terms of allowing our fear to turn into us seeking the Lord. And then also it's important for us to fast and pray,
mm-hmm,
in order to get the breakthrough that God has for us.
Amen. Amen. And I like that when he was fearful, he sought God.
That's right. That's right.
And a lot of times we're fearful. We don't know what to do with that fear,
mm-hmm,
you know, but we need to turn our fear into faith.
That's good.
And face the Almighty God who can help us resolve any situation.
Okay. And so we see that the other verses leading up to where you stopped at verse number 12 is the prayer that he's offering to God in terms of how he really needs God to live up to his promise in a real sense, and how the land that the enemy was trying to overtake was the land that he had already promised to Abraham, and how important it was for them to see God's power and his might in this situation. And he was letting God know that we're relying upon you to do this. Mm-hmm. This is your promise, God. This is what you said. We're trying to live out what you've already told us would be ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so, God, we need you. We're outnumbered. Mm-hmm. We if we ever needed the Lord before, we need you right now. That's what he was saying. And so as a result of that, he's continuing to pray to God and seeking the direction from God in terms of what his strategy would be as he goes up against all of these different enemies from throughout the country.
Amen. And, you know, I think that's an important reminder for us that when we feel like our backs are up against the wall, we need to remind God of his promises to,
mm-hmm,
us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, you said, yes, by your stripes I have been healed.
That's right.
You know, you said,
you were wounded for our transgressions.
Yes. Just remind God of his, mm-hmm, promises. You, I have a book of promises,
mm-hmm,
up there.
Mm-hmm.
You said no weapon formed, that's against, right, me, that's shall, right, be able to prosper.
So you have to speak God's word in the, right, midst of uncertainty, and because his promises are sure and his satisfaction is guaranteed. If God said he would do a thing, it shall come to pass. And so many times we find ourselves in danger of trying to help God out and not allow God to complete the assignment that he is going to put in place in order for us to be victorious.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's hard to repeat God's promises back to him if you don't know
if
what they are.
If you don't know, that's right.
So you have to search out God's promises.
You got to study this word.
You got to study the word. But the good thing about it is that now we have Google. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have Google. We had to look it up. Now you can ask Siri. You can ask Alexa. What are some of God's promises found in the Bible? And they'll tell you.
That's right.
You know, you write those scriptures down, and then you repeat those back to the devil. Amen?
That's right.
But I like to do it the good old-fashioned way, so I know what I let my fingers do the walking through the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And open my Bible and find those promises for myself.
A couple of things just in these first few verses that you've shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
He fought his fear, talking about Jehoshaphat.
Mm-hmm.
He sought the Lord. Mm-hmm. We've established that. And then he brought synergy among the people.
Yes.
In terms of unifying them so that they would be on one accord.
Amen. Because I'm sure if he was afraid, then the people were
That's
afraid.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and he brought the people's focus back to God.
That's right.
Everybody focus on God, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how we should be. All focus should be on God.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pick it up at verse number 13, is that right?
That's correct.
And let's read down where's a good stopping place for us in your handout there in terms of where we get a good break.
Not sure. Let me see. Doesn't look like there's one.
Okay. Well, I think what we'll find out as you read, if we can go ahead and read as much of that as we can, we have about 15 more minutes before the mm-hmm. hour. If you can read all of that, then we can come back and make some adjustments based upon some key things that we need to lift up out of those verses.
All right, I'll do some speed reading.
Well, you have enough time to read it.
Yes, sir, I
normally,
do.
Normally. Huh?
Yes. I do.
What do you call me? Yes, sir?
I said, yes, sir.
You said,
I do.
Yes, Lord, I do.
Is that what
no, you said?
No, oh, I did
just
not.
Checking. I heard you say, yes, Lord.
Verse number 13 of the 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Meanwhile,
well, you
all
know
Judah,
there's a scripture where it says that. Well, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay. Meanwhile, all
but
Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and
said.
Their children.
All right.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaha, son of Jael, son of Mattatana, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. In the middle of the assembly, he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, the king Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours,
what?
But God's.
But God's.
Tomorrow, go down against them. They will come up by the accent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Jeruel. This battle is not for you to fight.
My.
Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf."
What verse is that, Reverend?
Oh, 17.
That's powerful. Read that
yes.
again.
Yes. "This battle is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you."
Wow. And another version says, "This battle is not yours, but it belongs to the Lord."
Right.
"Stand still and see the salvation of God."
Hallelujah.
And so many times, even when it looks like we're up against and we're outnumbered, then we have to make sure that we have consulted with God. Because what man might intend for evil, God can turn that thing around for your good.
Yes.
And so we look at the numbers, but one and plus God is a majority every time.
Every time.
And so I think this is so powerful, and it reminds us of how God can fight the battle even though it may appear that we are on the losing end.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? The enemy will try to make it seem like in the natural that you're on the losing end.
That's right. That's right.
But with God on your side and the Holy Ghost as your guide, you cannot go wrong. The battle belongs to the Lord, and you will always win.
Stand still and see the salvation of God.
Amen. Amen. I stopped at verse number 17.
Okay.
Amen.
Go ahead and pick it up.
Verse number 18. Then Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets." When he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in the holy splendor. As they went before the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set an ambush against the Ammonites, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the Ammonites and Moab attacked the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them utterly. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. My Lord. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, where corpses lying on the ground. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take the booty from them, they found livestock in great numbers, goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They spent 3 days taking booty because of its abundance. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Barak to this day. Then all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat at their head, returned to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had enabled them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. The fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around.
Isn't that something? Go ahead and read those last few verses, and I think then we come back and just comment on whatever might be, because it's self-explanatory, really, a lot of it is. Mm-hmm. But go ahead and close that out, and then we have about 10 more minutes, and we can wrap it up.
So Jehoshaphat, we're at verse number 31. So Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shihon. He walked in the way of his father Asa and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet the high places were not removed.
Hmm.
The people had not yet set their hearts upon the God of their ancestors.
Uh-oh.
Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, from first to last, are written in the annals of Jehu, son of Hanan, which are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. After this, King Jehoshaphat of Judah joined with King Ahasuerus of Israel, who did wickedly. He joined him in building ships to go to Tarshish.
Mm-hmm.
They built the ships in Ezion Geber. Then Eleazar, son of Danavah, the Mershahah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have joined with Asherah, the Lord will destroy what you have made, and the ships were wrecked and were not able to go to Tarshish.
Not able to make it. So we see that even at the end of all that Jehoshaphat had accomplished, and how he had sought the Lord, and how he was diligent, and how God fought the battle and won it for him, he aligned himself with an enemy mm-hmm. who was an unbeliever mm-hmm. and who did not follow the mandate or the precepts and the mandates that had gotten Jehoshaphat to where he was. So one of the things I think, Lady Kim, is key here, that we ought not start, don't just start strong, but you got to finish strong. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about having not just starting power, because people are good at starting stuff, but God is looking for finishers. And the Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you is well able to bring it to a flourishing finish. So I think, as we already indicated, a couple of keys and a couple of steps here, how Jehoshaphat started out. He fought his fear. He sought the Lord. He brought synergy among the people. He caught the vision. He listened to the voice of God. He brought the idea to the people. He assembled them. He taught them the plan, and they got the victory. But in the end, he aligned himself with an ally who was destructive and caused him more harm than it did good. Mm-hmm. And as a result of them building all of them ships, can you imagine how much effort they had put into building these ships, trying to move over to Tarsus? The Bible says that he was not able to finish that work, and he finished poorly by forming destructive allies.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm. So you got to finish strong. Don't align yourselves with the wrong people.
Right.
And it's so easy to get aligned with the wrong people, because, you know, in your well-doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can see something that somebody else has or something that somebody else is doing and think you need to align yourself with them to help further your cause, when really, when you don't investigate, it can do you more harm than good.
That's right. That's right. And so I believe even today that God yet calls leaders not only to begin the race, but to finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people drop out along the way. So many people decide to give up. And when the going gets tough, they pull back. But if God has established something on the inside of you, he's well able to bring it to a flourishing finish.
Amen.
So don't just start strong, but finish strong. Amen. Somebody shout, finish strong.
Finish strong.
Somebody type that in, finish strong.
Finish, I'm going to finish strong.
Yeah. We're almost about getting ready to close out this year. You got to finish strong. Many of us started strong in January, but here we are in October. And I tell you, we're gonna finish strong. Are you going to finish strong, Lady Kim?
I'm going to finish strong.
I know you're right in the middle of trying to get through this dissertation, and you getting up at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning and trying
to
get it done. But I believe God's going to give you some finishing power so that you can get through this and be finished strong.
Amen. Thank you.
So don't align yourself with destructive airlines.
Amen.
But continue to trust the timing of God.
Yes.
And know that God will make a way somehow.
Yes, he will.
All right. Look like we're having a little technical difficulty, but
mm-hmm.
we're going to go ahead and prepare to close out. I like what Dr. Kwalee said. If God be for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. Even when it looks like we're outnumbered, God can still give us the victory. So don't grow weary in well-doing. For the Bible says, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I want to encourage you tonight to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because if you don't give up,
hallelujah,
God will show up.
Yes,
how
Lord.
Many of you believe that tonight?
Yes, God.
If he doesn't show up, he's going to send some angels your
yes,
way.
Yes, Lord.
One called goodness and mercy. Another called mercy. Somebody shout, surely.
Surely.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, Lady Kim, look like the screen is frozen, but I think we're getting some people that still, it might be on our end, but are there any particular prayer requests that you might have or anything else as we prepare to close out tonight?
Well, we have several bereavements. First of all, that we most definitely want to lift up in our prayers, and I will mention them, but we will pray for them as a whole. We have Dr. Angela Hargrave and Brother Jim Hargrave in the loss of Sister Angela's mother, Hilda Barnes. That funeral is this coming Sunday in Natchez, Mississippi, St. Charles Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi at 2 o'clock p.m. And then, of course, we're continuing to lift up Sister Yolanda Cooper in our prayers. Sister Yolanda Cooper's daughter, Portia, passed away. That memorial service was on yesterday. It was a beautiful memorial service for that young lady. Sister Sandra Robertson in the loss of her brother-in-law, Tony Brown. Sister Georgia Rucker and Brother Maurice Rucker in the loss of Sister Georgia's cousin, Christina Williams. I believe they've already had the memorial service. Sister Deborah Taylor in the loss of her cousin, Timothy Street. That service was on today. Sister Dorothy Thomas in the loss of her nephew, Sherry Spencer Jr., and that funeral is scheduled for this Saturday, October the 7th at 12 noon at New Sardis Baptist Church. So I think I got all of them. If I did not, then don't charge it to my head.
You got too much going on right now.
Yeah.
We also, Travis Cooper and the loss of his son.
Travis Cooper
was killed in an automobile accident last week.
And so Travis Cooper.
He's a member of ATOP. Travis is, but his son was not. But we want to make sure that we keep them before the Lord. And he said he would get back with us with details as it relates to that funeral.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Okay.
All right. I think that's it. And I think our time has been well spent today.
Yes.
Any other prayer requests before we go?
Well, you ready to go ahead and close us out then, Lady Kim, with a word of prayer? Okay.
Let us pray. God, we thank you on tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We give you praise and honor, God, because you have allowed us to go through another day. You've allowed us to accomplish much. You've allowed us, oh God, to gain additional knowledge of your word and how we can apply it to our lives. We ask, oh God, that as we end on tonight, that you continue to be with us. God, we lift up the many, many, many bereavements that we have amongst our church family, God. We ask that you would, your comforting power and strength come upon all those whose names that we've called on tonight. We know, oh God, that death is hard, oh God, because we know that we will miss our loved one. But God, we know that they rest in your everlasting arms. So we thank you that we are assured that there is a place reserved for us in heaven if we just trust and believe in you. And we thank you, God, for comforting the bereaved. We thank you, God, for healing the sick. We thank you, God, for aligning us with good advisors. We thank you for allowing us to accept good advice. We thank you for allowing us to remain in your word, in your will, and in your way. So we love you, we thank you, we bless you, and we honor you for all that you're doing and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, and praise God.
Don't forget that we will have our volunteer appreciation luncheon this coming Saturday at 12 noon. So we're looking for all of our volunteers. If you volunteer in any way, we're looking for you this coming Saturday at 12 noon.
And then our fourth module starts on Thursday. Is that correct?
That's right. Our Institute for Leadership Training. Actually, I think did it start last week? No, it starts this week.
Yes, Thursday.
It starts this Thursday. at 6:00 p.m.
Carlise Seymour and also Evangelist Patterson will be leading through outreach and evangelism.
Amen. So we're excited about that.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. So if you're part of Institute for Leadership Training, we look forward to seeing you on Thursday. All right, everybody. Praise God. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we will see you the same time, same place on next week. Blessings.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye. Be blessed.